Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on sex and reproduction when we come back. Well, here's an interesting statement. It says, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.'" Now you'll see that revolutionary statement in Acts 5, verse 29. It's a revolutionary concept. And it's impossible to put into practice unless you personally know the law. Can you imagine yourself actually telling a policeman or telling a judge that the law of God supersedes the law of the state? Well, there are actually three sources of authority that support Peter's position in Acts 5, verse 29. The first one is the First Amendment. That's number one. The First Amendment to our Constitution. Public Law 97-280, also known as Statute 96-12-11, is the second. And a Supreme Court case called Seeger versus United States is the third. Now, do you know the scriptural law to cite in support of your position on, let's say, the census or public school, Social Security, vaccinations, or the many other laws of the scripture that conflict with the laws of your state? And do you know how to look them up? Research it out. Code plead the law. Do you know how to use the scripture to defend yourself against state and federal intrusion into your constitutionally protected rights? Well, if you don't know the law of the scripture, and you don't know the law of the state, then you're in no position to challenge either one, now are you? So if you're tired of being a biblical illiterate with the police and public officials kicking sand in your face, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package? That's the place to start. It's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order yours right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Now, the Mosaic Law School is available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and then send an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or you can call direct 417-273-4967. Do it right now before you forget. All right, we're talking about sex and reproduction. Sex. Everybody's interested in sex. If God made anything better than sex, he kept it for himself. Truth of the matter is, sex to God is really kind of an oxymoron. I mean, he doesn't practice sex. He's not male or female. I know people picture him as being male, or they picture him as being female. Truth of the matter is, he's neither one. He's created some sexual creatures. And sex is kind of a funny thing. When you look in nature, you find animals that are bisexual. That is, they call them asexual. They can reproduce even by themselves. They don't need a second partner. Human beings don't. They're bisexual, I think we call it. It requires a boy and a girl to reproduce. And then in nature, we find some funny things. You know, you'll find birds where the male bird raises the young instead of the mother. In humans, it's the mother that raises the baby until it's 2 years old, and then we have a statute, a law in here that says the baby belongs to the father. It's kind of a weird program, wouldn't you say? So when you look at nature, you look at bulls and cows and sheep and goats and one animal and another, you know, lions and tigers and so on, they all have a different methodology for reproduction. And you see that on nature. You know, you're watching PBS and you're watching nature, and you watch one of these nature shows, and they show you this unique methodology for reproduction. And without this system of reproduction, that species could not reproduce. And some of them depend upon other animals or other birds. For instance, there's a reproductive cycle in a fig tree. And it requires this little wasp. He comes in and he bores a hole into this fig. And then the offspring from the wasp, which reproduce inside the fig, go out and they bore a hole into another fig. And that is what carries the pollen from one fig to another and makes the seeds fertile so that that tree can reproduce. And without that wasp, that tree would die out. And we kind of look at that and we marvel. We say, well, how in the hell did evolution never pull off a stunt like that? And the answer is you don't have to be real smart to figure out that evolution and blind chance didn't do that. It took somebody, it took an engineer, it took mind and capacity. It took a lot of engineering skill to produce that phenomenon. And that's just one out of thousands. I mean, you know, you take a look at evolution and say, well, maybe it could have done that once. Can it do it 1,000 different ways and 1,000 different times? See, there comes a point in time when the law of averages and statistics comes up, slaps you up alongside the head and says, nope, that don't work that way no more, boy. Well, now, you know, when it comes to sex and reproduction among humans, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot of training to figure out how to do it. I mean, you know, just all you got to do is turn to be about age 12 or 13, and all of a sudden, you know, you can start figuring out things for yourself. Don't really need a whole lot of explanation. And in animals, you know, we just call it nature or natural or instinct. And you don't have to give any sex education to a bull. You know, he gets up to be about, you know, 9, 10 months old, and he can figure out what those heifers are for. And those heifers out there, you know, they get to be about, you know, yearlings or so, and they can kind of figure out what that bull fella's doing over there and what he's for. They don't really need a whole lot of sex education. Human beings need a lot of sex education. We, human beings, we got to have a lot of it. And we go to public school to get our sex education. I showed you that last time from a book entitled America to Pray or Not to Pray, written by David Barton. And I want to recommend the book to you because it's a dynamite book. Cost $12. Well, that's what it cost years ago. I don't know what it is today. But call David Barton at 817-441-6044 and ask him what the price of the book is, and be sure to get his catalog. This guy puts out tapes and books by the bushel basket full, and they're all good. Well, there's a couple of them that probably aren't any good, but then, you know, I haven't seen them, so I didn't know about those two that aren't any good. The rest of them that I've seen are all pretty good, and I recommend this guy pretty highly. The book's name again is America to Pray or Not to Pray. It's a statistical look at what happened when religious principles were separated from public affairs. When we took the Ten Commandments and the Bible out of public school, here's the results. You know, and I'm not complaining. I'm not here to reform the public school system. God knows, you know, if that thing needs reforming, it's going to take more than George Gordon to reform it. I've got a solution for public school. Stay away from it. It's kind of like drugs. Just say no. There are certain things out there in life that are just inherently wicked and evil. Public school's one of them. Flo's Whorehouse is a second. I'm not trying to reform all the people of America or reform Heidi Fleischman, you know. You get what you get, and I just don't have to go to Heidi and buy her services, that's all. And neither do you. And you don't need to go to public school and buy their services, and if you do, it's a choice that you make. And you get a result that comes from it. Like 25% of the teenagers in America have sexually transmitted diseases. 25% of the kids in public school get STDs. They get gonorrhea or syphilis or AIDS or herpes or venereal warts or something else. And it has side effects. It has a consequence. And this guy, David Barton, put out a hell of a story on that. His post office box is 397 in Aledo, Texas. It's Aledo, Texas, 76008. And it's called Wall Builder Press. Wall Builder Press. P.O. Box 397, Aledo, Texas, 76008. The phone number is 817-441-6044. Make sure you ask for his catalog. And this book was $12, shipped, postpaid. America, to pray or not to pray. Now, I said to you last time that God has a lot to say about sex and reproduction. And unlike cattle, we human beings can come down with some pretty severe diseases. Life-threatening diseases. We can become sterile. We can have all kinds of consequences that come from these sexually transmitted diseases that old Elmer the bull and Elsie the cow don't need to be concerned about. You see, when bulls go out and breed 14 different cows, year after year after year, there isn't any problem with venereal disease at all. None. Zero. Zilch. I never heard of a bull with gonorrhea. But boy, there's a lot of boys and girls out there and men and women that get gonorrhea. And there's got to be a reason for that. Now, of course, if you evolved from green algae over there, maybe it's just random chance. But if you were designed by a creator God, I mean, we call him God. I mean, you could call him a creator thingy, or you could call him a creator what's it, or, you know, whatever you want. But there's mind out there. There's a guy that thinks and plans and has the power to execute his plans, and he's created a world, and he's created a universe, and he says, the universe is mine, and I own it. It's my thingy. It's my property. And he says, the earth is my footstool. The heavens are my throne. The earth is my footstool. I own it. And then he created you and me, and he put us on the planet, and he said, I own you too. Of course, now that, you know, we get a little testy over that. When somebody comes along and says, I own you too, you get a little bit rebellious and you say, well, you don't own me. You ain't telling me what to eat. I had a guy tell me that one time. He says, you ain't going to tell me what to eat. Nobody's going to tell me what to eat, he said. I was telling him about pig, you know, and he didn't want to hear that. He's from Texas. Died at age 47. Nobody told him what to eat. He ate what he wanted. And then he died early. I say he died early because this same God over here that I'm describing to you over here, this thing here, what's it? He said, I'll give you 25,550 days of trouble-free life. 25,550 days. 70 years. And that's 70 years. No disease. You follow my instruction manual. You put the right fuel in the right hole. You put the right grease in the right fittings, and you put the right oil in the right spot, and everything's going to work fine. If you don't do it that way, you're on your own. Well, there's a reproductive cycle over here, and this reproductive cycle is guarded by, or it's ruled over by, or it's governed by some laws. Laws. Now, this is the way it works. Now, I'm an old-timey pilot. And I never did defy the law of gravity when I was flying airplanes, as evidenced by the fact that I'm an old, bold pilot. There's an old adage that says, there's old pilots and there's bold pilots, but there's no old, bold pilots. Well, I want to take deference to that. I'm an old, bold pilot, but I quit early. Now, you can be an old, bold pilot, but if you survive being bold, then you need to wake up to reality because, you know, there's limits. I mean, there's just physical limits out here in the real world. And if you go beyond those limits, you know, sometimes you'll survive it. Now, you know, I've done some wild and crazy things, you know. talk about Steve Martin being a wild and crazy guy. You know, I used to be kind of wild and crazy. And I never was an Evel Knievel, you know, but I did some kind of wild and crazy things and survived them. There were some other people out there that did some of the same wild and crazy things and got killed in the process. And it was by my observation of these guys getting killed that I woke up one day and I said, oh my God, you know, that could have happened to me. I mean, that could be me out there. Now, I saw a guy one time, and we stopped in this place, and he had his nose look kind of peculiar. In fact, it looked so peculiar, I'd never seen a guy with a nose quite like this guy's nose. And when we left, my wife said to me, well, that guy is going through nose reconstruction. He has syphilis, and his nose rotted off. And I said, oh, my God, yeah, that's right. I remember that now. See, I used to manage the Harrison Apartments there in Oakland, California, on Harrison, you know, near right off 14th. And there was a lady there, and lived on the first floor. I believe she was in number 126. No, it was this side of 126. She was in 115 at the Harrison Apartments, 1970. And that woman wore this gauze bandage over her face. I thought, well, that's kind of peculiar. You know, I saw that first. Hell of a nice lady. Awful nice lady. She was 76 years old. Hell of a nice lady. You know how old ladies are. They're just really nice old ladies. I really like this old lady. But she looked kind of funny, you know, walking around with this gauze bandage over her face. Well, you know, you like to walk up to people and say, hey, lady, how come you're wearing that gauze bandage over your face? But, you know, the proprieties of life. you just don't do that. Taint politically correct, see. But my wife, you know, my wife, who's collecting the rents every month, and we were there for a couple of years, you know, as managers, and this old lady had been there for many, many years. In fact, she'd been there for 28 years, I believe, at that time. She was an old Ma Bell telephone operator. Now, get this, it's 1970, and she's 76 years old. She's born in 1894. And, you know, so by 1914, you know, this lady is 20 years old, and this is World War I era time, see? And she goes down, and she's a young girl, and gets a job at the phone company. And while she's at the phone company, she meets this young fella, you know? And she has an affair, just one time. I mean, in this lady's lifetime, she had sex one time in her entire lifetime. Yeah, you guessed it. And she got a dose of syphilis. Now, this is before penicillin. This is before, you know, antibiotics. And so her nose rotted off. That's one of the symptoms you get from syphilis. Your nose rots off. And it destroys the cartilage, you know, in your body. And so this lady never married, and she continued being a telephone operator, and she never had sex again. She confided in my wife. You know, this is the story of the old bold pilot. And I said, oh my God, one time. And that's the mystery of sexually transmitted diseases. I mean, you know, you can go out here to Flo's or else. I mean, I know guys, you know, been going to Flo's for years, never got anything. And then I know that woman, you know, one fling, just one guy, one time. God, I hope she had an orgasm for her one time in life. But, you know, it's the way life is, ain't it? You know, you never can tell how the cookie's going to crumble. And some guys buy the farm and some guys don't. You know, and you never can quite figure out, you know, what happened and why. Now, my Aunt Bessie, you know, was a pretty good old heifer. Not one of the, not an Elizabeth Taylor or a Britney Spears by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, she was a nice old lady. But she had her nose on her face when she was 87 years old when she died. So did my granny. And those old ladies had husbands. And those old ladies knew something about sex and reproduction that you young ladies out here today don't know. And that is, you don't know how to keep your men at home. And that's why your men are out there messing around. That's why, you know, men go down here to the topless bar. You know, I'm an old man. I've never been to a topless bar. You know that? As old as I am, never been to a topless bar. Never had a need to. I never had a need to because my first wife knew how to keep me at home, and the second wife knows how to keep me at home. And there's a little secret to this, and the secret comes out of the Bible. And if you're an airline pilot and your wife is kind of ignorant and dumb and doesn't know how to keep you at home, then that's her fault. I mean, if you're out here laying the stewardess over here, it's your wife's fault, not yours. I'm going to show you that as we progress along. And that's because in animals, if you take a cow, the sex and the reproduction in animals is governed by the female. And in humans, we've reversed that out. We've got girls over here. Remember when the Beatles came to town and the Beatles got off the airplane and there's all these girls over here jumping up and down and hooping and hollering? I mean, these girls are just going nutso, you know, for their matinee idols. They practice idolatry is what they do. They practice idolatry, and because of that, they kind of lose their sense of balance. They really don't know what the hell they're there for. And I guess all those girls want to get laid by those four boys, and those four boys can't take care of all you girls out there. So, I mean, it's just physically impossible. Can't happen. So you got millions of girls over here all wanting to get laid by these four Beatle guys over here. Not entirely clear why it was that they wanted these four particular guys, but, you know, that's the way it is. I mean, all these guys over here all want to lay Britney Spears, but, you know, it ain't possible. I mean, that girl, you know, that girl can't possibly accommodate, you know, 150 million men. And so Solomon came up with a wise old saying one time. He said, you know, you'd be better off to be satisfied by the breasts of the wife of your youth. I know it's a wise old saying, came from Solomon. He said, here's a guy that had 1,000 women. I mean, there's nobody else that I know of that's had as much sexual experience as this guy Solomon. And he said, in the final analysis, after I had bedded down 1,000 women, here's my conclusion. I would have been better off to be satisfied by the breasts of the wife of my youth. So Solomon's conclusion was, one woman is plenty. One woman, one wife. And in Proverbs chapter 31, he described what a good wife is. I mean, he described this woman. We call her a Proverbs 31 woman. My Aunt Bessie was one of those. My granny was one of those. My wife is one of those. They're pretty damn rare. In fact, he called a good wife as rare as a ruby. And I want to tell you, boys and girls, that rubies are more rare than diamonds. Diamonds are about as common as pig tracks compared to rubies. So he compared her to a ruby, this Proverbs 31 woman. And then he said, this woman, as he describes her, I'll show you what that's all about a little later on. I just wanted to tell you that this guy knew what he was talking about. Man, you just tell me, you show me an airline pilot. I mean, this guy's probably bedded down a lot of stewardesses, but 1,000? 1,000? Yeah, you know. Well, that went over for a minute. Well, anyway, getting back over here to God now, in chapter 5 of Proverbs, he had a little story to tell. So let me read you the story. He starts off and he says, my son, attend unto my wisdom and bow your ear to my understanding, that you may regard discretion and that your lips may keep knowledge. Now, girls, just in case you thought that you'd been left out, we could read that, my daughter, attend unto my wisdom, and bow your ear to my understanding, that you may regard discretion, and that your lips may keep knowledge. But he describes, first of all, what happens when we get off track here with this strange woman. Now, a strange woman doesn't have to be, you know, Heidi Fleischman. You know, it could be just a bar stool floozy sitting on a bar stool down at O'Flanagan's. Hell, it could just be the stewardess, you know, on the airline. or stewardesses. It could just be the airline captain. It could just be the guy, you know, flying the airplane. So whether you're male or female, just pay attention here. God is telling both of you, boys and girls, using it from the point of view of a male and a strange woman over here. But hell, it could be a woman and a strange man. You know, just a guy, just strangers in the night. You know, just doing what they think's right. So he says, now pay attention here. And keep in mind that this is the guy that designed your body, ladies. This is the guy that designed your bodies, men. And then we're talking about sex and reproduction here. This religiously, politically, incorrect subject matter that nobody wants to talk about off of, you know, the Tonight Show. But, you know, just in case you were wondering here, God does have a little something to say about sex. Now he says, for the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. And lest you should ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that you cannot know them. Now hear me. Now, therefore, O you children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Pay attention. Watch my lips. You remember that? That was old George Bush. He said, watch my lips. You remember that? Well, that's exactly where this came from. I mean, it comes right from God. He says, hey, watch my lips. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest you give your honor unto others, and your years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with your wealth, and your labors be in the house of a stranger. And you mourn at the last when your flesh and your body are consumed. Okay, let me pause right there at verse 11. Remember I told you about the nice old lady whose flesh was consumed? This is a female. And this female allowed herself the pleasures of sin for a season. I mean, after all, why shouldn't she? She's free, white, and 21. And she's out in the big, big world. And she was a young woman working, making her own way in life. She's a telephone operator. And she, you know, she's making her way, and here's this great opportunity to have a little sexual fling, and she thought, well, let me go out and get a little experience. Now, the old lady didn't go down to death from the VD. She survived the VD. See, not everybody dies from VD. Al Capone did, but not everybody does. See, sometimes it just consumes your flesh, and then you can live the rest of your life without a nose. And that's what happened here. And so it tells you a little story. God has given us these laws concerning sex and reproduction. And then he has enforced those laws with little microbes called germs and viruses and bacteria. Little invisible critters over here that will consume your flesh. They're called venereal disease. Now I know somebody's going to come along and say, ha, 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 we beat God. We've got penicillin. Wait a minute, boys and girls. Yeah, you got penicillin for gonorrhea and syphilis, but you know that still doesn't solve the problem of sterility. And you don't have any penicillin for AIDS. And AIDS is a disease that's now pandemic. AIDS is a venereal disease that's 10 times worse than gonorrhea and syphilis, and probably has killed more people than those two diseases combined. Now, you know, we used to practice in this country, I mean, we used to practice a level of morality. And there was, you know, there was a level of morality. There was always, you know, old John Wayne, you know, and Clara Bow. I mean, old Clara Bow, it was reported one time that she laid the whole University of Southern California football team in one sitting. Wasn't it Clara? I'm pretty sure it was Clara. Now, you know, the whole 25 guys on the team, I mean, you know, to lay down and they have 25 guys gangbang, you know, that's something, ain't it? I don't know if old Clara got VD or not. And I don't know if any of the members of the football team got VD or not. But they sure as hell ran the risk. And again, you know, that's the thing about VD. You never can tell when you're going to get it and when you're not. That's the vagary of it. I don't know if God designed it that way on purpose or not. It's kind of like Russian roulette. You know, you spin the chamber, the cylinder, and you put it to your temple and you pull the trigger. If it goes click, you won again. If you don't hear anything, you lost. If you don't hear the click, you lose. Well, he's got a little more to say. He says, and you mourn at the last when your flesh and your body are consumed, and you say, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Drink water out of your own cistern, and running waters out of your own well, and let your fountains be dispersed abroad in rivers of waters in the streets, and let them be only your own and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of your youth. Let her be as the loving hind and the pleasant roe, and let her breasts satisfy you at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why will you, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, and embrace the bosom of a stranger? Now these verses from 15 to 20, or 21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Eternal, and he ponders all of his goings. These six verses need to be translated into more modern English. So, if you got a pen and paper out here, just write down, I'll translate this for you. It's fairly easy. Drink the waters out of your own cistern, and running waters out of your own well. And let your fountains be dispersed abroad in rivers of waters in the streets. Well, what that's talking about is sex, climax, and reproduction. Drink water. Have sex out of your own cistern, out of your own wife's vagina, and running waters out of your own well. Running waters, that's the sperm out of your own penis. Let your fountains be dispersed abroad. That's your ejaculation. And rivers of waters in the streets. That's your wife's lubricant. And let them be only your own and not strangers with you. Now there's an important biological reason here, children. You see, venereal disease comes from men and men. If you take a look at venereal disease, it's practically unheard of among lesbians. Mull it over. Practically unheard of among lesbians. AIDS and venereal disease is being transmitted between homosexuals, men and men. So it's the man who is infected who goes to the whore, goes to the woman and infects her. The woman then becomes the cesspool by which the next man who comes along and has sexual relations with her develops it. But it's not woman to woman, it's man to man. So God now, he's not whistling Dixie through a straw hat. He said, you know, there's nothing like married sex. Now, most of you people out there don't know that because you don't know how to use married sex. My Aunt Bessie did. God bless her. You know, old Aunt Bessie kept my Uncle Otto at home for 50 years. Old Otto, he never went out. you know, messing around. And my uncle, Buster, you know, my Aunt Edith, by God, old Aunt Edith knew how to keep old Uncle Buster at home. She understood what we call, in colloquial terms, a wife's duty of marriage. It's called a woman's duty of marriage. Do you ladies out there know what that means? A woman's duty of marriage. You see, if you knew what a woman's duty of marriage was, your husband, I mean, if you practiced it, I mean, you might know what it is and don't practice it, so it doesn't do you any good. But if you knew what it was and you practiced it, I'll guarantee you, your airline pilot husband over there, he won't be out there dinking around with those stewardesses. Airline pilots who are out there laying the stewardesses over there have wives that do not understand a woman's duty of marriage. Now, let me tell you the answer to the riddle, and then we'll go forward, and I'll show you why it's that way. Sex is instigated by and generated by females, not males. And this crazy nonsense that we have adopted in our society of having male dominance over females produces rape, for crying out loud. It produces all kinds of sexual perversion. Sex and sexual relations should be governed by the female. Take a look at a cow in the field. And the bull is in the field with her. And the bull is eating grass and the cow is eating grass. And you don't see any sex going on. But then one day, something happens. The cow comes into estrus. She comes into heat. And boy, now the bull gets real excited. Why, he follows her all over the field, but she don't stand still. And she won't let that bull breed her. And that bull isn't raping her. He'd like to. I mean, he'd like to breed her, but he won't. And it's because of her smell. He can smell her. She's ready to breed. And this goes on for about a day, and then pretty soon the cow, when she's ready, when the female is ready, she will stand still, and he'll mount her, and he'll breed her. There's no rape going on out there in the field. And that bull responds to the female. You don't see a bunch of cows out there in the field jumping up and down, hooping and hollering, saying, "Whoa, wow, wow, look at that bull. Look at the ring in his nose. Woo!" That's insane. And the same thing is just as insane when women do that over men. But it's a part and part of our customs. It's a part and part of our heritage. It's a part and part of the crap that you learn in sex education in public school. And that is that males are dominant, and males are like the fawns. They're cool. And they just kind of walk around swinging their ass, and the females, they just swoon and fall over and pull their pants down ready to get bred. See? I mean, that's the fiction that you learn from Hollywood and television. And all the crap, you know, that comes out of the public school system over here as it relates to sex. Which is portrayed as great stuff. And it is. I mean, there's no doubt about it. If God made anything better than a woman, he kept it for himself. But here in Proverbs chapter 5, he's pretty straightforward, you know. If you just translate this, let them be only your own and not strangers with thee. Sex is something that is done just between husbands and wives. Nobody else is invited in here, not even the state. Verse 18, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. That's fountain be blessed. That's your climax in sex. Let it be blessed. And let her be as the loving hind and the pleasant roe. And let her breasts satisfy you at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. I mean, today, you know, you take a look, and these women are running around, they're showing their breasts. Your breasts, ladies, are a very important part of your sexual anatomy. And they're just for your husband, just for his viewing only. And you women are running around showing them to everybody in the countryside. And then you wonder why you get raped. Ladies, You dress like a tart in Piccadilly Circus. You walk around half naked. And you are inviting every bull in the pasture to come breed you, and when one of them gets a little rambunctious and grabs you and breeds you, you scream rape. I don't know, girls. Now, you got a body, and your body is for your husband. It's not for the airline pilot. It's not for the plumbers, the carpenters, and the electricians. It's not for anybody else but your husband. And your husband's body is for you, and you only. It's just a little personal, private little thingy over here, created by your creator. And sex is something unique in humans in that it's not just for reproduction. Boys and girls, it's also for fun, pleasure, and sport. But it's not for fun, pleasure, and sport with the other boys in the ninth grade class, girls. It's just for your husband. When the time comes. It's not for the rest of the boys there. Hey, I got to give you a reminder. I'm running a little behind time here. So let me remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Remember, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, please go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through the webpage. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School direct at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network and or radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about sex and reproduction from the biblical point of view. So in Proverbs chapter 7, verses 15 through 21, God tells you about such things as climax and sex, sex and marriage, rejoice with the wife of your youth, that there is a fountain, we call those vaginas, and there are penises, you know, and this penis and this vagina are made for sex and reproduction. And they're great inventions, terrific inventions. And in humans, it's used not just for reproduction as it is in bulls and cows, but it's also used for marriage. It's used for binding a man and woman together. That's the pleasure that comes from sex. It's a fun thing to do. But sex, like nitroglycerin, is a dangerous substance. Dangerous substance. And it needs to be handled carefully. We don't let our children learn how to drive by throwing them the car keys and telling them to go experiment. We send our children to public school and we hand them a condom and say, go learn about sex and reproduction by experimentation. And then we wonder why our children get sexually transmitted diseases and why our children end up in divorce, and why divorce is at 67%. Boys and girls, divorce, child support, alimony, sexually transmitted diseases are the penalties that you pay for the wrong use of sex. No, like I said, you know, if there's anything better than sex, God kept it for himself. But it's like an automobile. Automobiles are wonderful. God, I love my car. But you know, when the road sign says slow to 35, buckle your seatbelt, you know, you buckle your seatbelt because you know that if you take the turn or take the curve at 80, you're liable to run off the road. Roll it three times and the seatbelt will help save your life as the car is rolling over six times down the mountainside. Because you didn't follow the law that said slow to 35. Automobiles are dangerous. Kill 40,000 or 50,000 people every year in this country. Sex is dangerous, boys and girls. Sex kills more people than auto wrecks. Sex kills millions of people. Not thousands, millions. And AIDS is an example of that. Now, AIDS, boys and girls, is the penalty that you pay for the wrong use of sex. I know somebody's going to come along and say, well, my wife went to the hospital and she had a transfusion and she, boys and girls, it's the wrong use of sex that caused your wife to get AIDS at the hospital from the blood transfusion, which is the eating of blood, which is prohibited in Leviticus 3:17. I mean, come on, kids. You were promised. You were entitled to. You have a contract with your Creator that guarantees you from the God, the Creator of the universe, 25,550 days, 70 years, with no disease. How come your wife needed a surgery in the hospital? What in the hell law was she breaking that she needed surgery in the hospital for which she needed the blood transfusion? Which was the eating of blood, which violated Leviticus 3:17, which came from some queer who had AIDS, who was practicing sodomy, which was violating one of the sex laws. Come on, kids. Cause and effect. Cause and effect. Well, you see, it wasn't my fault that we had this auto accident. You see, we were just driving down the road. And, you know, God, I hear this constantly. You know, it's not my fault. It's always somebody else. Wasn't me. It was the other guy. It wasn't me. It was the woman. That's the first thing that Adam said. Hey, God, wasn't me. Don't blame me. It was that woman you gave me. She's the one that did it. It's always blame the woman. Now, over here in Proverbs chapter 7, there's another neat story over here that deals with sex. You know, pure, unadulterated sex. Chapter 7. Now, pay attention. Now, it starts off, my son. Keep my words. You ladies out there, my daughters, keep my words and lay up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the table of your heart. Say unto wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that you may keep you. Let me flip back a page here. From the strange woman, or the strange man, from the stranger which flatters with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. I discerned among the youths a young woman, a telephone operator, void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. And in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and the dark night, and beheld, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot, and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him, and she kissed him, and with an impudent face, and said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently, to seek your face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works and fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning, like strangers in the night, and let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He's an airline pilot, you know. He hath taken a bag of money with him, and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strikes through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. How many 14-year-old girls in sex education class have it explained to them? I mean, the other side of the story. I mean, they got it from Planned Parenthood. Remember the story? Let me flip back over here again to page 28. Here. Girls understand now that they are far more likely to make good social and sexual adjustments to life if they learn to be warm, open, responsive, and sexually unafraid. They're learning to be sexual partners of men. How many of those young women understand that they go after her or him straightway as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, until a dart strikes through her liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knows not that it is for his life? Now, they don't tell you that in sex education class in high school. My God, they'd scare the living hell out of you kids, wouldn't they? You don't want to hear that. That's not where the fun is. That's not where the pleasure is. Now, I'm not denying to you boys and girls that sex is intensely pleasurable, and that it is fun and exciting, and it has all the things that you want. Sex. That's right, it does. And everybody knows that. And or you suspect it. I mean, even if you didn't know it personally, you would suspect it. Now, I explained to you that there are about 15 statutes. Now, let me just see if I'm right here. Let me count these again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. 18 statutes in the Bible. 18 laws here that deal with this thing of sex. It's like an automobile. You've got 2,000 traffic laws in your state now that regulate and govern the usage of automobiles. I think most of us, you know, are pretty well agreed. Not all the laws in the traffic code are necessary, but I think we would all agree that the law that says stop on red is pretty important. Or stop at the stop sign, or drive on the right side of the road, or left side if you're in England or Australia or wherever. You know, drive on the correct side of the road, I guess I should say, for a worldwide audience. We understand that, you know, driving on the wrong side of the road can get you killed. Running the stop sign can get you killed. Running the red light can get you killed. And they're not teaching you boys and girls that in sex education class, that the wrong use of sex can get you killed. They're not telling you that. I think that somebody ought to. And then the other side of the coin is, here's your creator. He comes along and says, now listen, there's a correct use for sex. And don't ever think that the Bible was silent on sex and reproduction. Now, the mealy-mouthed preachers and holy joes and sky pilots might be silent on the subject. I don't think I can ever remember a preacher standing up and saying, hey, let me explain to you sex and reproduction. Let me explain to you adultery and fornication. Let me explain to you sodomy and lesbian behavior, And like an ox going to the slaughter, now, boys and girls, pay attention and watch my lips. And this is God now twice in two chapters has said, watch my lips. Don't get mad at God when you come down with AIDS. Don't get ticked off at God when you get divorced. Don't get ticked off at God when your airline husband is bedding down the stewardesses down in Cape Town, South Africa, while you're sitting up here in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, girls. Now, your Creator has explained to you a wife's duty of marriage. Well, he's also explained to your airline husband what his duty is concerning adultery. And he's also explained to all those stewardesses down there, all, you know, those sweet chicks, about sex and reproduction. It's not God's fault that you people haven't been paying attention. It wasn't that he didn't give you a written instruction manual. It wasn't that he didn't tell you. It's that you didn't read it, you didn't listen, you didn't pay attention. You're sending your daughters and your sons off to sex education, teaching them to be sodomites and whores. That's what public school is for. It's to teach your sons to be sodomites and your daughters to be whores. And I suppose that that's what you want, because that's why you send them to public school. There's a solution to public school. It's called homeschool, but then that's another story for another day. I can't for the life of me understand why normal, sane, rational human beings send their children to school and encourage them to learn driver's education, and then send them to the same school and send them to sex education class, give them a condom, and tell them go learn sex education by experimentation. Somehow, boys and girls, that doesn't add up in my little pea brain, but then, you know, don't let me tell you how to live your lives now. But I thought I'd share with you a couple of thoughts, you know, that came from your creator over here. Now, I just told you here twice now in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 5, Proverbs chapter 7, two chapters. He goes on to say here, hearken unto me now, therefore, O you children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Now that's the second time he's made that statement. It says, watch my lips. Let not your heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she has cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Want your nose to rot off, boys? Want to come down with a dose of AIDS? Go on down to the strange woman. Go on down to Flo's whorehouse. Have a fling on Friday night. Come back and report to me in 10 years and tell me how'd it work out. Did you have a good time? Did you have a lot of fun? Was it as good as you thought it was going to be? How's your nose? How's your reproductive organs, girls? Oh, you're sterile. Oh, my God. Isn't that terrible? Let's blame God for your sterility. Let's blame God for the loss of your nose, shall we? Yeah, I'm about out of time. I'm going to have to leave it right there. We'll take it up right here next time. Sex and Reproduction on the Law Hour, an editorial review from the biblical perspective. You've been listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our webpage. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, and